Romans chapter 3. I just want to challenge your heart this morning from this passage. We'll begin reading in verse 14. The Apostle Paul certainly was a man of prayer. He believed in prayer. Many of the church epistles record the prayers of the Apostle Paul. And boy, they were enriched with meaning and depth, his prayers was. You can learn a lot about a person by listening to him pray. Amen. In fact, do you know one of the first things said about the Apostle Paul after he got saved? Behold, he prayeth. One of the first things mentioned in Acts 9 that Paul did after he got saved was he started praying. That's right. Person don't ever pray, don't have desire to pray, and don't ever get prayers answered, something might be missing right down in this below your collarbone there a little bit. Amen. All right, chapter 3, verse number 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now remember, he's not praying for a people to get saved. He's not praying that Christ come into a lost person and set up residence. He's addressing a church. He's addressing a people that are saved. And he's addressing the issue, not that Christ be in your hearts, but that He dwell in your hearts. And that word dwell means to feel at home. To feel relaxed. To feel at home. Amen. A lot of times you know people come to your house and you tell them, make yourself at home. But you really don't mean that. Make yourself at home. Or you'll even tell them, feel at home. Feel at home. But you really don't mean that. Because I'm sure there are cabinets you wouldn't want them to go through. There's drawers you wouldn't want them to go through. And certainly you wouldn't want them to kiss the cook. But when you say to Jesus, I want you to feel at home in my life, that means no restraints. Any room in my heart and life that you want to get in and plunder through, feel free to do it. Help yourself. Nothing restraining you. So it means a lot when Paul was praying for that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able. Probably one of my favorite verses in all the Word of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I don't know about you, but I feel a witness on that. I'm telling you, if anybody needs a goosebump, I've got several. If you got a goosebump and it's 100 degrees, it's God. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read the verse again because we're going to preach out of it. Now unto Him that is able. Some of you need to hear that. Now unto Him that is able. Able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church. That's why I want to go to church. Amen. Unto Him be glory in the church. Now we know He's talking about the overall body of Christ, but He's also praying here for a local church. God is working through that local church to give God the glory.
Amen. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You can be seated. I want to look at this passage of Scripture. And I've preached on it before. I've dealt out of this Scripture before. The other day I was praying. I was going up the road praying, and I was praying, Lord, surely there's more from You. Surely there's more. Surely what I'm seeing in churches today is not all that God wants to do and give. I was praying, surely, Lord, there's more. And Lord, I want that more. I want to tap into that more. You know, and I thought about this verse of Scripture. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think. And I thought, Lord, that tells me there's more. There's more. There are other levels for us to get on. And I'm telling you just as clear as I'm talking to you today. You say, preacher, was it audible? No, it was much clearer than that. When I was praying, Brother Matt, that God, surely there's more. Surely we need more. We got to have more. The Lord said to my heart clearly, there is more from me to you, but there's also more from you to me.
Amen.
Amen. Now God spoke to my heart about that. The key to us getting the more of God is Him getting more of us. Don't ever come to a level in your spiritual life, no matter how high it is or how low it is, and be content and draw a line in the sand and say, I'm not going any further. Let God take you further and further and deeper and deeper. Let God take you. There's more. There's more from Him. There's more from Him to us, and there's more from us to Him. Everybody like to have the more of God, but don't want to give up the more of self. But us giving up more, which is the last part of verse 20, according to the power that worketh in us. You know, for God to do more, we have something to say about it. It's not that God, you know, when God created the world, I thought about this the other day, when God stepped out on nothing and created the world by His power, by His Word, He did so in 6 days. But He's been building and working on the church for over, right at 2,000 years. He built the worlds and the universe and all of that's in it in 6 days. You know why He did that in 6 days and He still hadn't got the church done in 2,000 years? He didn't have no resistance to build the creation. He didn't have to fool with somebody's obedience and disobedience. He didn't have to depend on somebody's will to comply with Him. He stepped out and just spoke it into existence. Or what could God do in this hour if He could have a people where there was no resistance? If He could have a people, a church or an individual or a preacher that He could just work in and work on and work through with no resistance. I want to be that. God help me, I want to be that. I'm looking for big things. I'm looking for big things. Are you listening? I'm not looking for a bigger church. Elsewhere, I'm looking for a bigger church here. Amen. Why should I want to go hunting somewhere else when you've got the best right here and got some people that's hungry for the Lord here? And if some of you's worried if I'm pulling up stakes, let me just relieve your mind. That's not happening. Amen. I've done invested 16 years here. I believe I've got a few root systems are growing and some seeds that's been sown that we're looking to grow and come forth. I'm just going to water it and plant it and trust God to get the increase. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. God is wanting to do big things here. And the key is God doing more. We want God to do more. We want God, do we really individually want God to do more? Or are we content with what He is doing? Or are we content to just get a book off the shelf and read about what God has done in generations past? Now, I've got some of those books that tells me of revivals in the yesteryears. Boy, it fires me up, amen. Want to see a move of God in our day. See a move of God in our day. But if we're content to leave it in the past and say, well, that's what they did, what God did then. No, God can do it now. God can do it now, but He needs somebody like Spurgeon or D.L. Moody or Fanny Crosby or a host of other people that surrendered or submitted themselves to God, gave more of themselves, and got more from God. Now, you cannot get more of God, but you can get more from God. Amen. When you get saved, you get all of God you're going to get. God does not move in an installment plan. You don't get an arm at salvation, and 2 or 3 days later you get a foot, and a little bit later on you get another part or two, and before you know it, you've got all of God. That don't happen. God's a person. The Holy Spirit's a person. And when you get saved, the whole God, all of God, don't get too excited about that, but all of God moves in and takes up residence in your heart. The key to victory, the key to power, is you giving God more of you. Being filled with the Spirit is not getting more of God. It's God getting more of you. The reason churches today are dead and dry and defeated and discouraged and divided, I'll tell you why. There's a lot of people sitting on the pews that name the name of Christ that are selfish. Love self. Want to keep. Amen. Want to keep it. And what you cannot turn loose of is what's mastering your life. I heard a man make a statement this week. I've thought about it quite a bit. He said, God will never ask you for what you have. And I thought, what? God will never ask you for what you have. God always asks you for what you want to keep. Son, that's big right there. Amen? Oh, listen, the key is that God gets more of us. Are we willing? Do we have young people that's willing to come and say, Lord, here's my all. I lay the all on the altar. Just like the lad. He didn't say, Lord, I tell you what you want. You've got a multitude to feed here and there's a need. I tell you what, I'll give you one of my little hush puppies. I'll give you one of my little fishes. No, he gave the whole lunch. And look what God did with it. The key in that particular story in John 6, God doing more, was that lad had to give his all. Amen. Are we willing to do that? Amen. I was talking to Brother Jeff Brown this week or so, I think it was last week. And Brother Jeff Brown was telling about Brother Raymond Geis. Well, none of you know him, but he was Brother Randy Bain's pastor for several years. The old mountain Bible thumping preacher. I mean, buddy, his main message was being full of the Holy Ghost. I mean, he'd get excited. Boy, when I first started preaching, you know, God allowed me to preach in that church numbers of times. Brother Geis would let me preach. A big prayer warrior. Boy, I'll tell you right now, we've go down in the prayer rooms many times on that Saturday night youth meeting, and God would meet with us in that prayer room. And I'd always try to get in there where Brother Geis was, because he was an old saint of God, old man of God. And boy, you talking about getting a hold of God. And I'm telling you, a lot of times I'd pray and then sometimes I'd listen. I'd listen to that man of God pray. Well, anyway, Brother Brown said that Brother Geis and several of the men had went down in Saluda and was on Saluda Mountain was praying. And they split up out there in that mountain, you know, and just kind of went different directions. And they said Brother Geis got way off down in the holler. And after they'd prayed a good while, several hours had went by, then old Brother Geis began to scream, "There's more! There's another level!" Who was he hollering at? The hoot owls and the crows? Amen? No. He was letting them men other that's in there praying with him. There's another level! There's another level! There's more! There's another level! You know why? He got on it. God allowed him through prayer to step to the next level. And if you're going to go to the next level, that'll be where it comes, through prayer. Through your prayer life. Step your prayer life up a notch and see if you don't move up a notch. Step up your prayer life another level and see if it doesn't bring your whole spiritual life with it. Amen. You can't step it up in prayer without obedience coming with it. You can't step it up in prayer, my friend, without holiness coming with it. You can't step it up in prayer without service coming with it. I'm telling you, verse 20 tells me that there is more from God. And then this verse also says that there is more from us. The first part of the verse, we done read it 2 or 3 times. The first part of the verse tells us that there is more from God. The Bible says, now unto him that is able to do. Do for who? Do for himself? No. Now unto him that is able to do, and the implication is, he's praying for a church, he's addressing a local church. Now unto him that is able to do for you. Now unto him that is able to do in you. Now unto him that is able to do through you. Now unto him that is able to do around you. And now unto him that is able to do with you. Amen. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. A comma. And then the next part of the verse says, according to the power that worketh in us. What God does is being regulated and determined by what we allow him to do in us. God can still do for us. God can still do through us if we'll let him do in us. Let him work in you and see if he don't work through you. And I don't know of a saved person anywhere that does not want God to work in them. I do not know anybody anywhere that's saved, truly saved, born again, going to heaven saved. I don't know of anybody that's born again that does not want God to be working in our day, doing exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Amen. Saved people wants to see God move. Saved people wants to be involved in it. Saved people wants to be the recipient of it. Saved people wants to be around what God's doing. Want to be in what God's doing. Want to be a part of what God is doing. Amen? Saved people does. I'm bothered. I'll just be honest. I've been saved long enough. I'm not a veteran, but I've been saved long enough that it bothers me to see the hordes of people that claim to be saved and they're not the least bit interested in God doing more. In fact, their life seems to show very little evidence that God has ever done anything much in them. The creation bears the handiwork of God. A fool would deny that God did not create this universe. Isn't that right? A fool would. I want to tell you, dear friend, just as the creation of God bears His handiwork, so it is when He begins a good work in those that He saves. My friend, they'll be the evidence, they'll be the fingerprints of God, my friend, in your life as a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. You are a divine new creature, a new creation. Amen. Not too many people's going to want more when they don't even tickle about what he's done yet. Amen. That's exactly right. Let me give you this right here. Somebody said it was the definition of insanity, but I like the definition. And he said that the definition of insanity is keep doing the same things but expecting different results. In most churches, that's where we're at. We want to keep doing the same thing. Brother Matt, that's kind of what you addressed in opening Sunday school. Are we different? God's been moving in our Sunday services, but are we different? Do we have a greater desire for God? Do we have a greater determination to serve? Do we have a greater determination to pray? What is the move of God doing in us? What is He doing in us? And Brother Matt made a sober statement. I believe it's true. He said that if God keeps moving the way He's been moving and we don't do nothing with it, it's possible we could lose it. You know, RBT, you that's been here for a while, you know we've not been here, at least stayed in this on this level for a while. It's not been like that before. And I'm afraid, listen, we need to fear lest God be disappointed in us just soaking it up like a sponge and thanking Him for the emotions, but do not dedicate our life to a greater walk with God. Amen. I tell you, one of the most sickening thoughts just went through my mind. Meeting, next service, and God done lifted His presence. God done said, look, I've been moving in your church now for a year. I've been moving there mightily for a year. Souls are being saved. People being stirred and people being drawn in from various walks of life into this assembly to receive from God. But you've done nothing with it. You've done nothing with it. Amen. Amen. Now that may not be true with all everybody. But I want to say this right here. I want everybody to be listening. Ain't nobody saying nothing in here is more important than what I'm saying. I promise you that. I hope that would be sufficiently said right there. Are you listening? Amen. I'm not here flapping my gums. Amen. Amen. Listen, God's been a moving. God's been moving in this church. You know that. I know that. And the word is out. God's moving at RBT. I don't want to lose that. I want to treasure that. I want to guard that with all that's within me. Amen. That's right. I want to see you grow. I want to see you develop. I want to see you mature. Now I'm afraid to say that I see some that are not making advances toward the Lord. Why? Why not? God's been moving. Is He moving you? Are you being moved? Amen. God has never been one that wasted His time. God is never one that wasted His Word. He sends messages. He makes advances to work in people's lives. But if they don't respond, He'll quit working. And that's evident in a lot of churches in our area. And RBT could be one of them. Boy, isn't that a sickening thought? I mean, just saying something like that makes me just about sick to my stomach. To think that RBT, in just a few days, my friend, could be like all the rest of them. Dead and dormant and without the power and presence of God. With no desire for purity and holiness and godliness. With no mission effort and no concern for lost souls. And oh, God, help us to not even want to think such a thought. But how many has God moved through this congregation over the past weeks? But you have not moved. God has moved and spoken and sent messages. And in some services never even sent a message, just sent His presence. And I mean manifest power. But some are still, Brother Silas, not moved. What are you wanting God to do? Leave you alone? You young people, listen to me. Are you wanting God to leave you alone? That ought to be a terrifying thought in your mind that God may just shut up. God may just, listen, not deal with you and speak to you and not help you. He moves on you and you treat it lightly. He speaks to your heart and melts your heart and you go to the altar or whatever, but you do nothing with it in days to come. It's a temporary thing. It's not a permanent thing. What are you wanting God to do? Leave you alone? If God left me alone, Brother Clipper, I believe I'd just soon go, somebody just bury me. Somebody just dig a hole and throw me in it. Because I wouldn't want to live without Him. I tell you, I can't stand it without Him. I'm spoiled through His presence. I need Him. I can't make it without Him. I'm only where I'm at today because of Him. He holds my hands and guides my feet and comforts me and corrects me. The thoughts of Him leaving me alone. And not nestling up close to me and whispering in my spirit and blessing me and speaking peace to my soul. I want to tell you that sends an alarm in my spirit. Oh, I don't want Him to leave me alone. I've got to have Him. This nation of ours is basically saying to God, we don't want you. We don't want you in our government. We don't want you in our schools. We don't want you in our legislation. We don't want you in our movies. We don't want you in our music. We don't want you in our young people. We don't want you in nothing. Sad to say, most churches have done the same thing. They throwed Him aside and brought everything in that would seem to be a counterfeit. What do you want Him to do? Listen, friend, listen. It's not where I plan to get in this message, but I'm telling you, God is putting that in somebody's heart and life. Somebody's putting that in your face right now. What do you want to do? God leave you alone? You wouldn't dare verbally say, God, leave me alone. God, quit dealing with me. God, quit speaking to me. You wouldn't dare do that. And there's not a boy, there's not a girl in this building. There's not a mama, there's not a daddy in this building. My friend, listen, that would say to God, God, quit, leave me alone. Only a fool would say something like that. God, leave me alone. But your actions might be saying it. When you hear the preached word and you don't respond. When the preaching's going on, you yak, 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 yak. Are you listening? Don't pay attention. Don't read the Bible during the week. Don't have a hunger for God. Don't have a heart for God. What are you doing in action? You're saying, God, leave me alone. I want to go the carnal route. I want to go the worldly route. I want to go the fleshly route. And I want to tell you, that'll never be the route of revival. The revival that we must have to reach this generation. It cannot be, my friend, a people playing games with God and saying, God, I'm not getting serious with you. I'm not getting serious about your call on my life. I'm not getting serious about the salvation you put in my soul. I'm not getting serious about the purpose that you've saved me for. I'm just going to go around, tell everybody I'm going to heaven, and never get serious about serving God. What if God left us alone this morning? What if He just said, all right, I've moved and I've spoken and I've helped and I've answered prayer and I've done this and that and the other, but what have you done with it? Listen, what if that were to happen this morning? Oh, Lord, help us. There'd be a wreath hung on RBT's door. Here's the dead. Here lies the dead. Oh, here it is, Ichabod, the glory has departed. Listen from the back row to the front row. Do we want God to leave us alone or do we want Him to do more? If we want Him to do more, then we must yield more. We must give more of ourself. And amen, because that's the answer. The last part of that verse says, according to the power that worketh in us. What God does is being determined by what we allow Him to do in us. Amen? Amen. Now listen to me. Keep doing what we're doing, but expecting different results is insanity. If we're going to do what we have not done, then we must have what we do not have. Oh, mercy. If we're wanting God to move in another level, watch this right here. Lord just showed this to me just now. God never moves without a man or without a person to move on and move through. God does not move through inanimate objects. God indwells people. God moves through people. Now watch this right here. If I want God to move on that next level, listen to me. I'm on this level, Brother Silas. But if I want God to move on another level, then I've got to, and we're back on it again as I preached last Sunday, we've got to give Him a reason to. We've got to give Him a reason to, and since God won't move unless He's got a person to move on and move through and move forward, then I need to position myself on that next level so that on that next level, God would have a reason to move and have somebody to move on and have somebody to move through. A lot of times we want God to move on higher levels. We want to see Him save multitudes. We want to see Him do great and mighty things. But we're wanting to stay down here and hopefully God will move up there. But God does not move apart from His people. If we want God to move on another level, listen, amen, this is the message. Ain't no doubt right here. Listen, if we want God to move on another level, then we must position ourselves on that level. Make efforts to get on that level by denying self, by turning away from sin, by repenting of ungodliness. My friend, in reading His Word and getting full of God, getting full of His Word, and reposition ourselves on another level. And then God will move on that level. There's no doubt about it in my mind. That what God is doing in our church of late is because there's been people, individuals, that have made some efforts to get on another level so that God can move on that level. I've never experienced God moving on a level that I wasn't on myself. Are you listening? I want to say it again. I've never thought of it that way, but I want to say it again. I've never seen God move on a higher level than what I was living on. I'm telling you, friend, a lot of people today are treating God like some kind of Santa Claus. They're treating Him just, my friend, so flippantly and so frivolously, you know, treating Him lightly. And here He is, the sovereign God that owes us nothing. My friend, the sovereign God of heaven, my friend, that, listen, if He never spoke to us again, if He never blessed us again, it'd be God. But here He is, He's a blessing us and helping us in spite of us. Are you listening? Why? He's wanting to move us to another level so He can move. Do you think God's wanting to move on a greater level? Do you think God's wanting to move on a higher level? Do you think God's wanting to do more? What would the answer to that be? It would be a unanimous yes. Surely God's wanting to save more people than He's saving. Surely God's wanting to move and power and demonstration more than He is. Well, then why is He not? He's waiting on somebody to get on that level. He's waiting on somebody to get on that level and give Him a reason. Get on that level and be a channel. Get on that level and be an instrument that He can use. God works through channels. God works through channels, amen? Your house, you got a main water line coming in, don't you? Yeah. Say amen right there. Amen. You know why that main water line coming in goes to various other places in your house? Goes to your sinks, goes to your kitchen, goes to the restroom, amen, goes to the shower, the bath, and all of that. You know why? It's because you run some channel pipe, amen, from the main line. And you simply are saying, when you did that, I want water in this room, therefore I'm going to pipe it in, amen. Amen. Come on, say this. Help yourself. That's right, thank God. Boy, I feel the presence of God, I'm telling you. Hallelujah, amen. The reason you want water in that room is you pipe it in. You give it a reason to get in that room. You don't just say, well, there's the main water line. Let's see what happens. Let's just see if it comes out the shower head. Let's just see if it comes into the sink. Let's just see if it does. No, you make sure it does. How? You pipe it in. Amen. You run the pipeline and give it a channel and say, here's your course. Run into this room and run into that room. Is this messing things up? No. I'm going to tell you, friend, listen, I'm not tooting my horn, but I've seen God in the last 3 weeks take this preacher to another level. I'm talking about in preaching. I was preaching down there this week, and I'm thinking, Lord, I'm preaching the same. I'm preaching the same truth, same style of preaching, but there's something happening on the listening end. There's something happening in the pews, amen? And I'll tell you what, friend, I've got to, listen, right now, at least, I've got away from the importance of an outline. Right now, I've got away from... Listen, I left the house this morning. I wasn't ready to preach. I wasn't even really sure what all I was going to preach. And I left early this morning. I want to get here early enough to spend some time in prayer. Because I've seen God moving lately in these other churches and moving here without an outline, without a title, without a text, but just with truth. Like this morning, hey, are you listening? God's wanting more. If you want Him in your room, give Him a reason. Give Him a channel. Give Him a pipe that'll bring the main line. That'll bring the main line into your house. You daddies, you spiritual leader in your home, have you got the main line coming into your house? Can your children drink out of the main line because you've serviced a channel and you've put pipeline in your house to bring it into your children? That's the message. I was planning on preaching on something else, going on. I was wanting to dissect that verse. I was wanting to look at it word by word, verse number 20. But we're getting the message right now. Are you getting the message right now? Hey, you want God to leave you alone? I'm not trying to psychologically talk you into coming to the altar. I'm not trying to coach you into the altar. I'm not trying to use psychology on you, whatever that is. Amen. I'm just preaching the truth. I'm telling you, God's been moving mightily, young people. And if we don't do something with it, we're in danger of losing it. You say, preacher, is that scriptural? The church at Ephesus. Brother David, the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2 gave a lot of commendable things about that church. Commended them in a lot of areas, Brother Matt. But he said, I've got one thing against you. He said, you've left your first love. And he said, you need to remember from whence you're fallen and return. Brother Carroll, then he said the next verse, or He said, I can't quote exactly, but he said, I'll come and remove the candlestick. That's his presence. That's his presence. In other words, they just had one thing. It wasn't separation. It wasn't service. They were doing all that. They were hating them that were liars and false and all that. They were everything commendable. But God said, there's one thing missing. One thing that you've lost or you've left. Didn't lose it, you've left it. And that's your first love. Basically, what he's saying was, there was a time that you loved me more. There was a time you loved me more. There was a time you loved me more. And he said, if you don't repent and come back to it, he said, I'm going to remove the candlestick. That is, I'm going to take my presence away. So our church, friend, can lose the presence of God. Amen. 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 Sis, get in that place. Amen. Let her wash you. Let her use it. Take the word. Amen. 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 Let me ask her just a question here. What's going on?
I don't want my
hands. Still have. I believe the churches today's fooled around long enough, too long. Hey, time, ain't no need playing games. Ain't no need playing games. God's brought us a long way spiritually. But it troubles me as a pastor. I'm just telling you straight out, it bothers me as a pastor to see different people in our church of various ages not moving, Brother David. They're not moving. God's a moving. But they come and they leave without doing business with God. You know what that is? That's an insult to God. You talking about a sin of ingratitude? Those 10 lepers, God done a work in their life. 9 of them left, never did come back. But that one turned around and gave Him praise. You said, preacher, boy, that's awful. Ingratitude, God moving and us treating it lightly, God moving and us not moving with it, keep doing the same old thing, hoping we got a spiritual preacher, hope we got a spiritual choir, hope we got a spiritual Sunday school teacher, but I'm not wanting to be spiritual. How many's wanting to help? Folk, our church, if our church is going to go to the next level that I believe God wants us on, and I'm not talking about an increase of 3 inches, I'm talking about a major level, then it's going to take a group effort. It's going to take a church-wide effort. I need every young girl. I need every young boy. I need every man and woman, my friend, making efforts yourself to move to the next level spiritually. I need every one of you. I do. You don't think I don't need to? How many of you say, preacher, you don't need to go to the next level? God will do it anyway. No, you want a preacher that's going to another level, don't you? Whether you do or not, that's where I'm going. That's the direction I'm going in. My life might be half spent. My ministry may be half over. Are you listening? I'm 47. That's not old, I understand. But listen, I've got a lot to do, a short time to get it done in. How many's willing to say no to the flesh and say no to sin? Say, God, I'm going with you. Spiritual things is becoming a priority as of today. From this day forward, it's not about me. It's not what I want. It's not my flesh. It's not my friends. It's not even my family. It's Jesus. I'm going with God. Where do you do business at? Right up here. You know what she said? I said, what's wrong? I don't seem to have what others have. Fates, and I'm not saying that's what that is, but fates don't go to heaven.
The real goes to heaven. You don't have to fake it. You don't have to walk the dog. You can be real. You can be genuinely, sure enough, right now, heaven bound, saved. You can be saved right today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. She's the only one in here needs to move. Some of these others. He said, "Preacher, you think we're all lost?" No, I don't think that. I'm just simply saying, if you're saved, why are you not developing? Why are you not growing? Why are you not desiring to move forward for the Lord? It troubles me when I see people get saved and they stop. They get saved or supposedly get saved, Miss June, and they just draw a line and say, "This is good enough. I'm going to heaven." That's not biblical salvation. He's not just wanting to take you to heaven positionally. He's wanting to take you into the heavenlies practically. You boys, you young boys that's made trips to the altar here the other Sunday, I've been praying for you by name every day. So, preacher, what are you praying for us about? We went to the altar. I want you to do something with what God has done. Do something with it. Don't lose it. Don't let it decline. Keep your eye on your spirituality. Feed the fire. Fan the fire. Go further with God. Run off and leave us all if you can. I'm talking about on a spiritual path. Run off and leave us all. Amen. Bypass the preacher. I invite you to do that. Give me something. Challenge me. Amen. It won't embarrass me. You go on by me like a train passing a hobo, amen. You'll not embarrass me. I tell you what it'll do. It'll cause me to get in the prayer closet and say, "God, I'm the pastor. I need to be up in the front. I need to be leading this pack. I need to be leading this assembly. And Lord, I need to get serious. More serious. There's more. There's more for you. Do you want it? There's more. There's another level. If you want it, you can have it. If you don't want it, there's not enough preachers in this world to give it to you. There's not enough saints to give it to you. If you don't want it, you won't get it. But if you want it, there's not enough devils to stop it." Amen! That's right! If you want it, you can have it. If you want it, you can have it. Amen. If you want it, you can have it. Gotta want it. Amen. I used to coach Blake's little old basketball team, or tried to. Brother Carroll, there'd be many times we'd go out there and I knew we was sunk before we'd got on the floor. Why? Because of their attitude. They didn't want it. They come in there goofing off, and yet they come in with that mentality, and that's the way they played. Goofed off and they lose. And I'd be on the sideline screaming, "You've got to want it. You've got to want it. I can't get out there and play. I can't make the baskets. I can't play defense. You've got to want it. You've got to want to win. You've got to want to do it." Amen? Where our church goes from here, going to be based on what we want. Do we really want it? There's more. "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Amen. Miss Foster, if you'll come. I didn't get where I thought I'd get, but I believe we're where God wants us to be. God's got our attention. Ain't nobody in here sleeping now. Ain't nobody in here talking now, unless they're talking to the Lord. Are you saved? Are you saved here today? Are you willing to die with what you've got? Are you willing to die with what you've got? Salvation's serious. I'll tell you how serious it is. If you don't have it, you're missing heaven. You can be religious and not be saved. You can make a profession when you was little or any other time and not be saved. Amen. A good indicator, my friend, of a person's not saved, that's made a profession, their life never changed, they love sin and live in it. 1 John shows that person has never been born of God. When you get saved, God will change your attitude. God will change your attitude towards self, towards sin. God, listen, being popular is not what you live for then. Pleasures of the flesh is not what you live for then. God, living for God. Amen. Get in there and pray, buddy. Amen. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, Lord, You've got us where we are today. You're moving like I've not seen You move in many years. I've not seen you move at RBT like you're moving now since I've been here, and that's 16. Lord, I've not seen you moving in other churches where we go preach. Lord, I've not been getting the reports like I've been getting lately in other churches of like faith, how that you've been moving, and great numbers of people are being saved, and churches are on fire for God. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name. I ask you in Jesus' name. Lord, please don't leave us alone. God, please don't leave us to ourselves. Lord, the worst thing we could ever do is just play in church. The worst thing we could ever do, Lord, is just start going through the motions and a rut and a routine. God, when we can have the realness and we can have the relationship and fellowship with the King of Glory. Lord, there's some young people in this building, Lord, I've been praying for by name. Lord, you've got them heavy on my heart. Dear Father, they need to get in this altar. They need to hear the voice of God. And they need to start treating the spiritual life more seriously. Dear Father, please help them. Please speak to them, Lord. I can't do it, Lord. I can't do that, but you can. And Lord, you're able. Hallelujah, you're able, thank God. You're able.